Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford's new school superintendent, our focus this morning. We welcome for the first time Dr. Thomas Taylor to the program. Dr. Taylor, it is great to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Ted.
You come, your background is all around here. You grew up in the Maryland suburbs, correct?
I did. I grew up in Northwest Washington, D.C., and graduated from high school in Montgomery County, Maryland, at Bethesda Chevy Chase High School, and I've spent my entire career in Virginia.
And I was going to say, then from then on, all of your schooling and where you have been in various school districts has been, you know, large and small around Virginia. You know Virginia.
I've gotten a taste of just about everything. I went to Virginia Wesleyan College, which is now Virginia Wesleyan University in Norfolk. And from there, got a master's degree and a doctorate from UVA, and even picked up a Master of Business Administration from the College of William & Mary. And along the way, I've served in school systems in Hampton Roads, Chesapeake, and Virginia Beach and Norfolk, and gone all the way over to Charlottesville, Virginia, where I was a principal, and I was a superintendent just down Route 17 in Middlesex County. For those of you unfamiliar with Middlesex County, that's where the Urbana Oyster Festival is every year. And most recently in Chesterfield, Virginia, where I was the deputy superintendent, and now I have the good fortune to serve Stafford County as superintendent.
Boy, this sort of is a great, when you take a look at all of these different sizes and types of communities, to it's kind of like you finally got to Stafford.
It sure feels that way. And I will say that coming from Chesterfield County, it's a great fit to be in Stafford County, because everything from the geographic diversity to some of the ethnic diversity and demographic diversity of Stafford County, it's almost identical to Chesterfield County, except that Chesterfield County is about twice the size in terms of population and student population. But they have a lot of the same problems and a lot of the same challenges. And I've had some success with some of those challenges. And I saw the opportunity to come to Stafford as just this ideal fit.
So last summer the process began for you when you saw that there was the opening in Stafford?
Yeah, I saw that there was this great opportunity, and we had thought about it as a family and considered putting in a few years ago when there was this opportunity as well, and it just really wasn't a good fit for our family at the time. But now with some kids that are a little older in high school, this really was the right time for our family to make this transition, and it seemed like some of the challenges that Stafford had experienced lately, I had some experience in helping to correct in Chesterfield.
I bet growth, I would guess, is it being growth here, and I know growth, Chesterfield, Henrico, and in that area.
Oh, it is at the top of the list. How we maintain our existing infrastructure of schools, and then, of course, how we accommodate for growth in terms of hiring additional staff and teachers, as well as making sure we keep up with school construction. Definitely some challenging issues, but also some fun problems to solve with the community.
You started on December 1st, starting like that when the year is going. Was that difficult or was that good?
Well, I think I joined Team Stafford at a really, really exciting time. This is my eighth week on the job, and so far I've had the opportunity to participate in a couple of school board meetings, attend several community events, and even present a budget to the school board. It really is a great time to join the team, because our teachers are definitely in the rhythm. It gives us a jump start on what the next school year would look like. I'm actually thrilled. I feel like in a lot of ways this was the best time to join the team, because I get to have a hand in the budget development process for next year.
And we're going to get into the budget and in all of that as we go along this morning. I was amazed when you first came. I mean, you hit the ground running. You started having community meetings and just getting out in the community as quick as you can. And I know people in your office. Just timing-wise, didn't work out to get you in, but they tried to get you in here like right away. So a lot of times people will come and say, you know, let me kind of get the lay of the land for a few months. But you're here in February, but would have gotten here much sooner if schedules had worked out.
Oh gosh, I gotta tell you, Ted, I do love a full calendar, and I definitely stay busy, and there is no want for that opportunity at all. I've really had the joy of meeting so many absolutely fantastic people in this community, and everybody has this really consistent story. And don't get me wrong, there's been bumps along the way, but for the most part, folks are really excited about their kids' experience in Stafford County Public Schools and to find opportunities to engage with really just as many folks as we possibly can has been really rewarding because everybody seems to care about their kids and their kids' opportunity and they want the absolute best.
Yeah.
They may have some differences of opinion on a few issues that are leading headlines these days, but for the most part, everybody is just super focused on having a high quality teacher in the classroom at a great school led by a great principal. And I'm just really delighted to be a part of that type of community. And so a lot of our community events that we've had, and I've had some great night events and active participation has been focused around listening to what folks have to say about Stafford County and things that they want to see in the future that come from their school system. And so we have events planned all the way through March for folks to attend, and we encourage folks to jump on the Stafford County website or our Facebook page to see some of those upcoming events, because I really do want to hear from folks and learn more about what interests them about the school system and how we can make it a little bit better.
And I guess doing something like that, having all of those meetings and getting together with people does help you shape not only this year, but in the future of where you want to see Stafford schools go.
Absolutely. One of the activities that I've been doing at some of my community engagement events is an activity called a Stop, Start, and Continue, where I ask folks, what should we stop doing as a school system? What should we start doing as a school system? And what should we continue to do? And what are you really proud of that we could highlight? And for folks that are a part of your listening audience, you can go on to the school system's webpage, and I have a digital form if you want to participate in that as well.
Okay.
And you could go to the superintendent's link, and you can find our Stop, Start, and Continue activity. You don't have to go to one of our events to make that happen. We'd still love to hear from you and learn what interests you about the school system and some things that you think we should stop doing, some things that you think we should start doing, and things that we're doing pretty well that you'd like to see us continue.
Stop, start, continue. That's a great idea. The other thing I've noticed when you go to the page, and I guess it's a weekly. You come up with a weekly letter kind of to parents and to the community. And it's very readable, and because so many of those kinds of things, you just look at it, and so often you look at those kind of things, and you start getting drowsy. But you make it very upfront on what's going on and how people can get involved, and they're worth checking out.
Well, thank you for saying that. You know, at the forefront, I'm a parent. I have five children, the first thing that comes to my mind is that I'm a parent first. And a superintendent second. To the kids, I'm either Mr. Taylor or Dr. Taylor, but to everybody else in the community, I'm just Thomas, whether it's our teachers or our parents. And to the extent possible, I really want to have a conversation with our community. And I know that conversations are two-way, and so that really implores me to listen to what our folks are saying and to hear them and what's important, and then to also share information in a way that they can see it, read it, and understand it as well.
St- Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Thomas Taylor in this morning. Quick break. We'll continue this conversation when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Stafford County Schools this morning. Dr. Thomas Taylor, the new superintendent in Stafford County, is here. How long do you? I wonder how long you will be the new superintendent in Stafford County. Does that last a year or so?
That's a great question, because I will say that it does not feel like I have been here for only 8 weeks.
Yeah.
It feels like I have been here much longer. I have really enjoyed the team that I get to work with and meeting the folks in the community. It just feels so natural. I have to confess that I hope that the new superintendent title wears off quickly. And we can just roll up our sleeves and get to work.
Well, except when you're in a situation and someone that you're there's a tough question, and you can always say, "Yeah, I've only been here for fill in the blank." So you could use it for your advantage for a while.
Well, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to use that for an advantage, because I started getting tough questions on day one. So that's all right. We'll take the tough questions and we'll take the easy questions and we'll roll with the punches.
Boy, this has been difficult for schools. There's just, when COVID started, were you like the rest of us, of where you thought this will be a couple of weeks and we'll open back up and get going again?
Yeah, I think across the Commonwealth and really across the country, when you start planning for the temporary and the temporary starts to become looking more and more permanent, that adds its own complexity. But I think it's really important to note that, yes, this is a very difficult time for public education, arguably the most challenging time for public education in the last 100 years. And with that, it's also the most challenging time for all of us. This is something that everybody is experiencing in great depth and has great pain with, and it's just visible in public education on a large scale.
It was interesting to me, and it was last week when the school board was discussing the mask mandates and what to do, and you talked about how whatever was decided, this is going to take some time. This is going to it's not as though you can just flip a switch and just say you don't have to wear a mask. It's all going to take time. And I, as I thought about it, I thought you're right. There are a lot of moving parts here that are going to just makes this tough.
Yeah, and that's definitely given us the impetus to be prepared. And I think we are prepared. I know that there's no lack of willingness in our community to move forward, and we all, I think, look forward to the day that we can take masks off and we can be, free of that distraction.
Yep.
But we also have a large portion of our staff and students that see this as a huge piece of staying safe, and that is definitely something we are hoping for our kids and for our staff, is to keep them safe. I would love to tell you that instruction is our number one priority. It's not. It's safety.
Yep.
Student, staff, and campus safety is our top priority. And looking beyond that, we look forward to a time where this is not the central issue, and that we can focus on the things that we know we need to focus on, which is the social and emotional development of our kids and the academic growth of our kids.
I can't imagine the hours that you all have spent since this started. I remember in this area, watching and covering the school boards that summer when getting ready to open up, and just talking about how few kids you could have on the buses, and there was so much work. And like you say, that still continues.
Oh, the logistical challenges are very, very real. And as hard as our team is working, and all school system teams are working very hard, our teachers are really working the hardest. Our teachers and our principals, they come day in and day out very dedicated with one agenda, and that agenda is to serve the kids in their school and in their classroom. And they have done so with fidelity and been very flexible and been very supportive of all of the changes that they've experienced over the past couple of years, all with one really simple goal, and that's to help their kids weather this storm and move forward and grow from it.
Well, and you talk about teachers. It has been tough. Yeah, any teacher I know, I live with a teacher, and it's so difficult. It's been so difficult to get through all this. And I know you've seen it. And when we talk about the budget and all, I know last week when you gave your budget, you talked about retention and that kind of thing. And I know it's been tough on teachers just because what they're going through right now.
Absolutely, and you know, a lot of people don't think about it in this context, but it's important to note that prior to the pandemic beginning, we were in the midst of a national teacher shortage mm-hmm. in the first place. And the pandemic has really exposed how absolutely tough the market is for attracting and retaining really high quality staff. Every teacher that I have met in Stafford County comes to work every day wanting to do the best for their kids, and that really makes Stafford County a special place to be. It's a supportive environment that really cares for its kids and cares for its teachers. But it's tough in an environment like this where the landscape is shifting, everybody is frustrated, kids are frustrated, mm-hmm. parents are frustrated, staff is frustrated, and to channel that into successful outcomes has been a real challenge.
As you recruit teachers out of school, are there fewer teachers to recruit out of school right now?
You know, Virginia is not a great place for producing large volumes of teacher candidates. As a matter of fact, the total number of Virginia graduates out of teacher preparation programs is not enough to fulfill Prince William County's vacancies on an annual basis.
So that's why you're having to go to Pennsylvania
Absolutely.
And these other places.
We have to recruit broadly and widely to fulfill our vacancies, and it's a very competitive market. But on top of that, we also want to recognize how hard our folks are working and make sure that they have a living wage to live in our communities that they serve. We're very fortunate that 70% of the staff that work in Stafford County Public Schools also live in Stafford County Public Schools. And it's a tough market for home ownership, and it's a tough market for housing in Stafford County. We have the highest median home price in the region, and that's a challenge for us.
We'll get into that with the budget, and I'm sure all of that, especially with your first budget in Stafford County, it was. Although you came from a high growth area, and I know as you put budgets together and you talk about teacher pay, you do look at the surrounding localities, whether it's Prince William, Fairfax, Spotsylvania, Fredericks. You know, you're looking at those kind of things.
Absolutely, and not that we're ever competing with our neighbors. That's the wrong way to look at public education, but. You know, it is a tight labor market for getting high quality staff, and you know, we do want to offer a wage that is commensurate with the value that we offer, and we will never come close to doing that because our teachers and our staff should be certainly compensated a lot more than we're able to do. But we are paying attention to what our neighbors are doing in terms of salary increases, and there's a lot of work that we have to do in Stafford County.
Dr. Thomas Taylor, Stafford School Superintendent, here this morning. Before we take a break, one of the things I was going to talk about, and we got off track a little bit. You've been here about a month. What a winter to step into as far as having to make those kind of calls.
Yeah, it's not exactly how we had planned to start 2022, or as I like to refer to it, as part 25 of 2020. But we'd much, much rather have started in classrooms. But we definitely have weathered the storm, so to speak, and are moving forward.
But it was in Stafford was really with everything that happened on I-95. And I mean, still, you go around any road in the county and look at the trees, even on the sides of the roads. That first week Well, I guess it wasn't a tough call because there was no question that there couldn't be school.
Oh, definitely not a tough call, but I got to tell you, that storm, as challenging as it was for so many people with so many power outages and so many individual and group struggles that came from that storm, there was never a time that we could be prouder to be associated with Stafford County. There were so many heroes that rose to meet the challenge, to help their neighbors, to help their friends, and to help complete strangers get to safety and be sheltered and to have resources that they needed to get through that storm. I'm so proud of some of the folks that we recognized at one of our January board meetings for the efforts that they did, because from our safety and security staff to even bus drivers who got behind the wheel to transport a stranded motorist, we're super proud of the work that they've done.
How difficult is it to make that school call when whether it's you're either criticized for the time of day you make that call or the call you make or don't make, or it's tough.
Well, I like to make the call as early as possible because I know how hard it is for families to arrange childcare.
Yeah,
and even if I have a miss, and I've had one, which still makes me better than any meteorologist.
Way better.
That at least folks had enough advance time to make the call. And if we're teetering on the edge, we're always going to defer to safety because keeping our staff and students safe is our number one priority.
Dr. Thomas Taylor here from Stafford County Schools. He's the new school superintendent. We'll talk about the budget that he presented last week when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Thomas Taylor with us this morning as we get to know him and talk schools. You gave your budget presentation last week, and I was telling you off air, I've seen a lot of them over the years, and I don't know what major's different. But I learned more in your as you talked about demographics and just a whole bunch of things. It was very well done.
Oh, that's so kind. I really appreciate that.
Well, one of the things that you really focused in on, as we talked about just kind of the overall. We talked a little bit about teachers, but you talked about recruiting, retention, and growth were kind of the themes of your presentation.
So I would actually add another one on there, and that's transportation, something that's really kind of governed the headlines of Stafford County Public Schools to start this year.
Yeah.
And it's gotten a lot better, and kudos to the team of hardworking folks to try to make it better every day. They haven't given up hope on how to improve this school year, but our attention is definitely focused on next school year as well. Our budget is really about how we can create sustainable and responsible solutions to some of our longstanding challenges. This past year, we had close to 18%, or actually just a little over 18% attrition in our staff, which is pretty high. Mm. It's nearly double the amount of attrition that we would really want in our school system. And so that's a red flag for us in terms of how we create a supportive work environment for our staff, and also our number one concern that's been echoed to us, how we compensate staff to keep them. You know, the median home price in Stafford County is over $400,000, by far the highest in the region. And if
Wow.
we want to have staff that live in the community, that are a part of the community, and continue that trend, because more than 70% of our staff do live in the community, you know, we do need to make sure that they are able to afford our community and to be able to stay in this great place that is just an absolutely fantastic place to live, work, and learn.
I guess, go ahead.
Oh, no, and to follow up with that, managing our growth. We are the only school system in the region that bounced back very quickly from a dip in enrollment. We're over 30,000 students, and we're expecting another 600 students next year. So we have three really strong challenges amongst a whole host of smaller challenges that are all derivatives of these bigger challenges. And we do need to start picking apart ways that we can solve those challenges piece by piece.
I guess it would be easy to say, well, that 18% attrition, it's the times we're living in. But obviously you're not taking just that simplistic approach.
No, we're collecting a lot of information from the folks vis-a-vis exit surveys or and what they're telling us in terms of their decision making moving forward into next year. And I think folks see that there's light at the end of the tunnel with the pandemic, and we are definitely taking that optimistic view. We definitely have a disposition where we are looking forward, not behind us. And with that, folks want to have good cause to stay with us, and that will definitely help with retention. But in addition to that, we also want to recruit top talent that are coming into the field.
That, as I look at that number, that is high, and I'm sure you do want that lower just because it creates a better work environment. It creates, I guess you like to have some familiarity within a school.
Absolutely. We started our budget town halls last night. We were at Widewater Elementary School, and tonight we're going to be at A.G. Wright at 6 o'clock. We're going to each of our election districts. Tonight is the Rock Hill District. Last night was Griffiths-Widewater. Mm-hmm. And please check out our school district Facebook page if you're listening at home for future opportunities to engage. It's the same conversation in each place, so please attend the one that's convenient to you. But I had this great conversation last night with a parent who had a student that had gotten their kid all the way through elementary school, and only one of their child's teachers was still there for their next child to come through the school system.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just not what we're looking for. You know, we've got a great family atmosphere, a supportive school system. But we want that continuity, and we want that the strength that comes from that continuity and that stability, and that folks can expect a high quality school system and a high quality classroom experience for their kids.
I guess I kind of took it for granted, never thought about it. When my kids were in Spotsylvania when they were going, but when we would go to, when they would be at certain schools, you recognize teachers, and you knew who, you know, the next teacher was going to be the next year, who they would have, and those kind of things. And I think I just took that for granted.
Yeah.
So that is an important thing. As far as salaries go, and to be able to set all of that, I know you're looking at what you can get from what the state provides, mm-hmm. and just also having a good working relationship with the Board of Supervisors.
We are so grateful to have a partnership with our Board of Supervisors, and they're our critical funding partner. They are the deciding factor in whether or not some of our discretionary funding initiatives make it into the budget or if they don't. You know, Stafford County Public Schools is not a particularly well-funded school system. There are 130 school districts, 132 school districts in the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. And Stafford County ranks routinely in the 120s in terms of its support for public education, which is not great. But our taxpayers are getting a tremendous value from a high-quality school system, except that during the pandemic and even a couple of years preceding the pandemic, some of our performance has suffered, and we need to own that. But if we want to expect a change in that performance, we do need to make an investment, and we need to be serious about confronting some of our challenges, and we need to have an honest conversation about what it's going to take in terms of a financial investment to right the ship and to get our performance back up to our community's high expectations. And we need to have that dialogue in a very open format. And I think that what you can expect from us in future years is a five-year plan on how we intend to spend our money, not just this one-year snapshot, and where we want to build up to over time. and how we might support our teachers to provide the absolute best classroom instruction that they can.
And I guess, Dr. Taylor, you wouldn't even know this at this point, but one of the things that all school districts are having to confront is catching kids up for what's happened with the pandemic. That doesn't just happen.
No, it certainly doesn't, and it's a very real challenge. We will spend much of the next 5 years plus working on that specific issue. My teacher friends out there that are listening will know about how we would spiral the content and how we would revisit major themes, knowledge, skills, and dispositions in the curriculum over time so that we can build back that background knowledge so that kids can excel. But that is going to take time. That's not going to be easy, and it is going to take some resources to do that.
You mentioned a few minutes ago we were talking about transportation and the bumpy start to the school year that Stafford has, and that's another challenge. Just the buses on the roads, the narrow roads, rural roads, and just busy roads that you're having to deal with, and getting enough bus drivers has been a challenge for everybody.
So Stafford County Public Schools travels over 1 million miles in buses every year.
Wow.
It's astonishing.
That is astonishing.
And, you know, we have a really diverse geographic layout in Stafford County where we have urban, suburban, and rural areas of the county. And, you know, it requires a really diverse set of responses in terms of transportation. And we have a pretty high ridership. So focusing on how we might provide better and on-time transportation is a real focus of mine, because one of the consistent challenges that our parents and our students experienced was that we had a lot of kids that missed their first period class or missed some time. And, you know, there really isn't a terrific way to make up that experience,
right,
or that time. And we really owe it to those kids to make sure that they get to school on time. And so we had really two things that really needed to be focused on, which was getting enough drivers, getting enough buses to go with those drivers, and of course the distance between our tiers of buses. We had 4 different tiers of buses. Elementary school was split between 2 different tiers, and then we had middle school and high school. And I think we could do a little bit better. I think we can streamline that a little bit better and have a school day that is long enough for students to get what they need.
I know, and I think today, if I'm not mistaken, is the end. You had a survey out there, and I think today is the last day to be part of it.
Absolutely, and I would encourage anyone that has received this survey. It was sent to all parents. It may be in your spam folder, so go ahead and check that spam folder if you don't feel like you received it. And it was also sent to our staff members and even to our middle school and high school students to just get some perspective on what they feel about the bell schedule and how early is too early for school, how late is too late for school, and what's driving some of your decisions in terms of the bell schedule and your preferences. Is it after school activities? Is it childcare needs? You know, what's important to you? This is really going to help us in terms of making a recommendation to the board in terms of what our next year's bell schedule will look like and what we offer our kids in terms of when school happens for high school, middle school, and elementary school students.
So today's the day you need to get the invited in. It sounds like you haven't made any kind of decisions yet. You want to see what the community says.
We've actually got it open until close of business tomorrow.
Okay.
But still, don't hesitate. And we've already received thousands of survey responses. But, you know, the more the merrier. We really want to get a good snapshot of what our community thinks about this really important issue.
I like the way, you know, whether you do this survey or, and I was telling you off air, for so often in most localities, especially around budget time, it's the school superintendent makes his recommendation, the school board works on the budget, they pass it on, and there's a public hearing, you pass it on to the board of supervisors, and you go from there. The fact that you're doing these town halls is a great opportunity, especially in a smaller setting, to be able to actually, you know, talk to you or other people who can actually make a difference in all of this.
Well, I can't encourage this enough. If you have a question, you should ask and engage. I'd hate it if somebody was sitting at home saying, I really wish I knew the answer to blank and didn't ask it. So much of what I'm hoping to accomplish, and I've got just this absolutely fantastic team working with me on this, is to build trust. And I think that this is so important, that our community understand the rationale behind some of the recommendations that I'm making, whether it be about transportation or whether it be about the budget, to understand the why behind some of the decision making. And I can guarantee one thing, Ted, is that not everyone is going to agree with the recommendations that I make.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But even if you disagree with the recommendations that I make, that at least you understand what was going on in terms of the thinking and the rationale behind it, whether you agree with it or not. And I think that that's the building block to having trust and a building block to having a great relationship.
Boy, and I know so many cases where we're just everyday people have over the years have sent school superintendents emails or contacted them when they've had a concern with their child or their child's school, and have actually then gotten a relationship, and they find it always really surprising, you know, he called me back, or they talked to me, and I know that those are the kinds of things you do like to get involved.
Absolutely. And I will say that if I have one challenge, it's that I'm short an extra few hours in the day, because there are still emails that I want to get back to, yeah, and respond to, and phone calls that I want to make, and it pains me to get some of my teammates to help me out with that, but I do love hearing from folks and what they have to say, because their insights are really important. Our parents in particular. Our parents were our kids' first teachers. And there is just no bond tighter than our parents and our teachers. And it's been strained over the past few years. Yep. And we really need to look to how we can build that bridge back up again. And so that bond between parents and educators is as tight as it ever was.
I don't even know this, but just talking to you for the past hour, it seems to me that you're the type of person and will be the type of superintendent that goes and has lunch with kids and is involved in the schools, and that kind of thing has been, you haven't been able to do that the way you used to.
No, it's been really, really tough that we can't have a lot of those interactions that we want. Although I will say this, I was a high school teacher. I taught social studies. I taught U.S. history. Absolutely loved it. Never envisioned that I'd ever leave the classroom, and until I got bit by the leadership bug and nudged further on to make a different kind of impact. But I absolutely love spending time in elementary schools, and that's hard for a high school person to say. But you know, kids just say the darndest things, and they are so insightful, and they give so much value to how we run the school system, because their opinion is just absolutely fantastic.
Oh,
so
I bet it is.
When we get a chance to talk with our kids, we definitely take advantage, because they just bring so much to the table.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Thomas Taylor here. We're going to come back and wrap this up. I want to talk to you just about you set that up perfectly, just about how you did get involved in education and people that had an impact in your life to get you here. We'll do that when we come back and wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun. Visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Thomas Taylor in this morning. It's been great having you here, Dr. Taylor, and I hope I can get you in somewhat frequently to do these kinds of things, just
Thank
to
you.
Kind of talk about things. We haven't talked about we've talked about a lot of the policy and a lot of the everyday things, but how did you get what an impact on you in growing up to go into education to begin with?
I've had so many wonderful people in my life that have just absolutely pushed me in the direction of education, but really all of us, when we reflect back on our lives, it's parents, it's our teachers that have shaped who we are, that inspired us to be who we become as adults. And that's just such a compelling story for all of us, is how we became who we are. And for me, it really boils down to three folks, and that's my mother. I grew up in a single-parent household. My mother was a secretary at the World Bank in D.C. and then eventually became a business owner. And, you know, she was my first teacher and just absolutely inspired me. She was a lady with grit and just pushed me to be the best version of myself that I could be. I have absolutely zero musical talent, but my middle school music teacher, Gail Glazer, took me under her wing and really tried to support me and keep me on the straight and narrow, and inspired me to explore things that were not easily that didn't easily come to me. And I'm forever grateful to Gail Glazer at Westland Middle School. She just was the best. In college, I was I started off as a business major, and eventually became a history major after meeting Dr. Ben Berry. His storytelling ability and his passion for history, it changed my life, and it set me on a path to be focused on students and focused on others and focused on my community. And history was the backdrop and the vehicle for me to become a teacher. And it was absolutely transformative. And I'm just so grateful to those folks. They're just really three of many that just had a huge impact on my life.
Power of parents and teachers.
Absolutely.
In that story.
What a great combination.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Did a light come on at some point when you were a teacher that I want to pursue more of the leadership end?
You know, I think I got hoodwinked. I had a visit from my principal that asked me to step into a leadership role to quote unquote finish out the year, and then all of a sudden I found myself in a position that I had to continue on in a leadership role.
Yeah.
And I got bit by the bug and saw that I could have an impact on a bigger scale, and I'd like to think that my career has been about how I have been able to expand my impact to broader groups of people over time.
Well, it has been my pleasure to have you in here this morning, an honor to have you and to meet you, and Stafford's lucky to have you, and welcome to the community, Dr.
Thank
Taylor.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Thomas Taylor, the Stafford School Superintendent in Stafford County, great show this morning. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.